This is KUT 90.5. I'm Nathan Vernier. The Austin band Survive has drawn new attention to the electronic music scene in this city because Survive composed the soundtrack for the hit Netflix series Stranger Things. That's this music we're hearing now. And an important person in helping to establish this scene built around the use of vintage analog synthesizers is Chad Allen, co-founder of the store Switched On, located on East Cesar Chavez. He sells and repairs these instruments that are often decades old. Allen also makes music under the name Cellophane Spill. I spoke to Chad Allen, and I started by asking him how he got into vintage analog synthesizers.
Initially, in the mid-90s, analog synthesizers became more popular again. Artists began to use them. I saw the Rentals Friends of P video, and they had all these things that said Moog on them, or Moog, as I thought it was pronounced back then. And so I just wondered what that was. What are these things? What do they sound like? My high school had one just in the back of the AV closet. No one thought it worked. So
what high school?
This is in Westland, Oregon, near Portland. So yeah, I convinced the AV teacher to let me take it home and try and get it fixed, and ended up working just fine. And so I learned how to use synthesizers that way.
What intrigued you about it initially?
The fact that there was an instrument that was completely electronic that made, you could make whatever sound you wanted to with it. It was the possibilities, the potential of just going in, starting from silence and coming up with a sound, whatever sound was in your imagination, and then a lot of sounds that you'd never thought of before. And so, yeah, I mean, the creative possibilities of the instrument, I think, are...
Because a lot of people at that age in high school, they get into guitars.
Yeah, and I played drums initially in high school. So, you know, we were all in bands and whatnot. But yeah, it was a new thing. I didn't know what it was. My parents didn't listen to electronic music, really. And I just had no exposure to it before that. So finding out what that was and having access to an old analog synthesizer with no memory, no patches on it already, I had to go in and figure out how to use it, understand the physics of sound, and how to manipulate them into the sound that I wanted.
So you fixed the Moog at your high school, and what happened next?
After that, I just, you know, started saving my money and buying synthesizers and starting bands with synthesizers and trying to make the synthesizer the focal point of all the bands I was in.
When did you come to Austin? How did that lead you here? Or do you come here for another reason?
I came here to go to UT in 1998 and stuck around, found like-minded musicians here in town. But one of my goals when I moved here was to start a synthesizer band. So, and not like electronic dance music, which, you know, people have been doing, but like a live performing band where everyone was playing their instruments. And it was more of like a punk kind of approach.
That's interesting, and I want to touch on that in a bit, but first I just want to get through the timeline.
Yeah.
When did you start buying synths and fixing them and selling them?
As just kind of as a job. Yeah, I was laid off 2007, 2008 maybe, and I had to sell a couple of my synthesizers to pay rent. And then I thought, you know what, I could just buy and sell synthesizers for a living. Once you have an old synthesizer, chances are it needs to have some sort of service or repair or work done to it because they're fragile, you know, and being, you know, 30, 40 years old, they're going to need some work. And so I had to find people who fix them. And so through that buying, selling, and getting things repaired, I just made relationships with people here in Austin who were doing that sort of work.
Where were you finding these synthesizers?
You could find them, you know, on Craigslist. You could find them online at pawn shops, just wherever I could find a good deal on a synthesizer, where I was like, oh, okay, I can hang out with that synthesizer, maybe record with it for a little while and then resell it and make a little bit of money and be able to pay my rent that way.
Would you go to like a pawn shop in New Braunfels or like in somewhere else, drive there to Killeen and find a synth?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. We would, you know, I remember going to Oklahoma City once to buy a synthesizer, you know, just scouring synthesizer listings online and wherever I could.
And then you'd fix them up and resell them in Austin? And how would you sell them at first?
Yeah, in Austin or, you know, on eBay. Ideally in Austin because I wouldn't have to ship it. And then, you know, shipping adds a whole different layer of complication to the process. Synthesizers are fragile. You got to be sure to pack them really well. Even if you pack them well, it could get broken in shipping. So being able to sell them in town was always the best. And then I'd meet people too. You know, I met John selling a synthesizer, my business partner, starting Switched On. The first time I met him was I sold him a synthesizer. So I think through the Austin Chronicle classifieds at that point.
How did you go from selling synthesizers in the Austin Chronicle classifieds to where you are today with this store on East Cesar Chavez? How many square feet is this?
This is probably 3,600 square feet.
So how did that happen?
That happened because John and I had been working on music for a while. I was buying and selling synthesizers on my own. He would buy synthesizers from me. And we just decided, it had always been my dream to have my own synthesizer shop. I've been to a lot of like weird music stores through the years that have really inspired me. And I'd wanted to have a place of my own like that. So yeah, just talking to John about that. And we said, let's go for it. You know, Austin needs this. There's nothing else quite like this. There's nothing in Portland at the time. There was very little in New York that was like this. So let's do something unique.
And that was what led to the 11th Street location?
Yeah. Yeah. Initially on East 11th Street.
It's a very boutique type of instrument, and they are relatively expensive. Like, you kind of have to know that I'm going to go and buy a synthesizer. You probably don't get a lot of people just wandering in off the street. Oh, I'll spend $1,000 on this instrument. How was business at first? How are you able to keep it going?
Well, there was a definite need for it. Once people who found out about the shop who enjoyed collecting synthesizers or using synthesizers, it's really amazing to see it in person and say, well, I've been looking for these online. Now I have the opportunity to actually play it. And oh, these people know about it. Like, I trust them enough to buy this from them. They're here. I can bring it back if it doesn't work. Yeah, it's more personal. It's more of a community and a community relationship, which is, I think, really important to us.
You've done a lot to help foster that community and those relationships. Can you tell me a little bit about the various events that you've promoted and put on?
Sure. I mean, we usually do a South by Southwest showcase with Moog, which has been really nice, bringing Moog to Austin. And they've, through that, noticed a lot of local artists and made them Moog-affiliated artists, which is really nice. Moog artists get benefits, you know, cheaper gear, stuff like that. Promotion through Moog, which is cool.
Can you remember any of the artists that that's happened to off the top of your head?
Well, Survive's one of them for sure. I mean, they played one of our showcases, and the artists get the option to be paid with Moog gear, and a lot of the musicians that we've had on our showcases, local musicians, have taken that option and now have these synthesizers, you know, because they played the show.
But there were events before this South by Southwest showcase. What was it, AAAS or something?
Yeah, the annual Austin Analog Synthesizer Party. I think that's what it was. Yeah, that's what I started doing. I guess right around the time that I started buying and selling synthesizers for a living, I would host a party that would bring everyone together to kind of share their equipment. People get to see things that are really rare that they had only seen online. You know, before there was a store to go to, we had the party and you could go to the party and, oh, I've never been able to play that. I've always wanted to play that. Now I have the opportunity to put my hands on it and see I interact with it and how it sounds. I just feel lucky that we have so many talented people in Austin that I get to interact with and really, you know, help them get their synthesizers working or help them get the one that they need or the instrument that they need or the tool they need to make their music the way they want it to sound.
A lot of electronic music today, as you know, is made on computers and often performed with a guy standing in front of a laptop. Using vintage analog synthesizers, when you think about it, I'm sure you do, it's kind of unusual. I mean, you're using old machines to make music that you can just make on a computer. Can you explain that to me?
Well, it's the appeal of something physical, the appeal of the object. People are drawn typically to objects. There's a reason that vinyl records are selling better than they ever have. There's a reason that people are setting aside their phones and their computers for certain tasks so that they can feel alive. You know, we're physical bodies. Not much of our bodies interface with a computer. So I think people just naturally find that balance in whatever they're interested in. Also, there's people who make music with the computer and hardware. And I think that is really the perfect balance. And that's the opportunity we have from this perspective in the 21st century, is that you can use your computer to make music with a piece of hardware, and they interact really well. They complement each other really well, both sonically and physically. And the method of composing and connecting the two is easier than it has ever been. So I think that's, you know, the perfect balance. I don't use computers to make music, but that's just my personal, being a Luddite, you know, my personal, you know, hang up, I guess.
Something that's interesting about making music on a computer, it's a very solitary activity often, and more people are doing it now than ever before because of the availability of computers and the price going down. But it can be a very alienating activity, whereas having a band is something that is more of a community activity. And I wonder if there's any appeal there for that human connection of like interacting with others, making music with other people, as opposed to sitting alone in your room at night for hours and hours, like so many young people do these days to make music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're in a room with other people and you're making music and it clicks, you're all on the same wavelength and you're being creative together. There's something so magical about that and so special. We're never going to see that go away. Yeah, it's a feeling that I think is too addictive for people to let go of.
That's Chad Allen, co-founder of Switched On, the synthesizer store on East Cesar Chavez. You can hear my full story about Survive, their success, and how it's affected the local music scene here by going to our website, KUT.org.